cloudy enough. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Boston on a little family vacation. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, emergency medicine specialist. He can take a tattoo off with a laser. Everybody,
he's ready.
Yes.
No, I'm just going to say hello, and you know, I'm here tonight. I got a good night's sleep, and last night you were just a little abusive because
I was cranky.
So.
Oh man, Jessica, how do you do your last name?
Caulfield.
Yeah,
like
but
Holden without the D.
Yeah, it needs a, but it seems like there should be an L in there somehow.
There is an L at the end. You mean a D?
Oh, I mean, no, somewhere
Caulfield,
before.
It falls as if there
Caulfield.
Were a D.
Yes. All right. Jessica Caulfield is here tonight, you know, from Legally Blonde and Legally Blonde 2 and Stuck on You and Road Trip and now White Chicks, which is getting very good reviews. I saw, I think we had Busy Phillips on here the other night, who's also in White Chicks. And
Busy was on?
Yes. Busy's a delight.
She is a delight.
Yeah.
She's
you
a
too.
Witty one.
Yeah.
She's sharp.
She's a firecracker,
yes.
That Busy.
Yes, she is.
She is. And you know, that's good for about 10 minutes. But then you're like going to be quiet so you can watch your TiVo. And that's, I think, the message of the show. So what part do you play? Because I haven't seen the movie yet. It just came out yesterday, right?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. It's doing good. It's getting
that's
a
what
lot
I heard.
Hype.
I haven't looked at any numbers, but that's not really my thing. So
yeah.
So I've heard.
I should
some
say,
guy in the supermarket recognized me, the bagger, today with braces.
Really?
It was an exciting moment.
The movie's only been out less than 24 hours, and he recognized you.
Yeah, he was one of the
from
first
White
people.
From White Chicks?
Yeah, from White Chicks. And he was like, hold on. Wait, did you have red hair in a movie? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you were funny.
There's a black man from the 40s?
With braces.
Wow. Oh, that's tough when the brothers get the braces. That's a tough hand. Because, you know, like when a red-haired kid has braces, no big deal.
Right.
Yeah, like Bruce, you'd almost expect, like, right. You would look better with braces. We expect you to have braces. But when a brother has braces, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
Braces bring a brother down. Huh?
It's tough being a black man. It is. It is. Once in a while,
you would know, wouldn't you?
I do. No, but I'm part, you know, I got the nappy hair, and I sympathize. And, you know, I've done, I've lived the life of a black man. I was just saying.
What is the life of a black man?
Well, I've done a lot. I come from poor parents. You know, mom was on a food stamp and welfare, North Hollywood.
Food cards. Did you hear they're making food cards?
Yeah, they want to give the folks a little dignity who have the food stamps. My thing is to put them in clown shoes and wind up beanies so we can really, really dig into them. No, my mom could have used a little humiliation, would have got her off the stamps. But the point is I sympathize with the life of the brother man. And it's tough to be a black guy because, like, as a white guy, if you're poor, you drive a pile of crap, it's fine. Look, Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician. He's driving his sister's 88 Camry.
That rocks.
That's the point. But if you're a black guy, you can't drive no piece of crap car. No, you got to have the big dub rims on it. You got to be pimped out. You got to have. I know this sounds like stereotypes, but it's true. You got to have the Game Boy and the back of the headrest and everything. You can't drive. See, as a white guy, you drive a piece of crap, you're cool. Black guy, you're a loser. So it's
no,
a
but that's
thing.
All in the way he carries himself, don't you think?
Right. I don't know. More pressure. More
like the
pressure
guy, and I'm
going to
get you
man.
Sucker, who has the goldfish platforms, and he's the pimp who comes out of jail, and it's 20 years later. You can hold your head high, honey.
That's true. All right. I've been to the, and believe me, I've been to the Bishop Don Magic Wand's apartment and chilled with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
So believe me, I know the plight of the black man.
I chilled with Snoop Dogg. When
I chilled with Snoop Dogg.
One of the one of the few. I get the feeling Snoop
say about us.
Snoop gets around a little, but you know, you want the definition of range for Bishop Don Magic Wand is has a Cadillac, has a Rolls Royce, lives in an apartment. Hmm. Not too many guys live in a crappy apartment with a Rolls and a Caddy parked on the street right in front of the crappy apartment. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You live in a house, you drive a crappy Camry. See, that's the way the white man. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
No, but also the way the white man in L.A. is, they live in a crappy apartment, but they have a BMW out front. And they'll spend all their money on that lease.
Trying to impress gals like you.
Mm.
Are you single?
Doesn't work on me.
Are you single?
No, I'm not single.
You got a man? Are you married?
I've got a man, but I'm not married.
Ooh. Yeah, who is he? Is he a civilian? Is he an actor?
Is he civilized? He's not an actor.
Producer? Is he in the business?
No, he's not. He's a designer.
Oh.
No, but listen, it's different.
Yeah.
He rebuilds old British Triumph motorcycles.
Oh,
wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and he makes crazy, wacky custom belts and guitar straps for
belts.
Rockers
he works
and
with
lunatics.
Leather.
Yeah, he works with leather.
Sure he's not gay?
Positive. But he does have pink shoes. He's the only straight man who can pull it off.
It's tough. Whoa. Because the working with the old Triumphs is cool.
That's
but then
very
the,
cool.
The leather tooling.
Yeah, that's like a squeegee in the shower.
Yeah, it's a tip-off. Right. It's at least by.
No, the leather comes from, the whole leather work comes from the whole motorcycle culture.
All right, that's true. Leather
that's
jackets, leather pants. And does he make the belt buckles and stuff? Does he braise?
Well,
does he weld?
The buckles are made separately, but the belts themselves are actually created by 5 people in a workshop who make them by hand, and they're custom made. They're incredible. I'm wearing one right now.
Wow.
See?
Look at that.
And I've got my J buckle on.
That is great looking. All right, so he makes a living doing this?
Yes, he
makes a living. Right?
He treats me well.
You're in love?
Yeah, he's an angel.
All right, that's good. He's one of these guys that's cool, though, right?
He's cool because he doesn't try to be cool, and that's the secret, everybody.
Yeah, but
I mean, he actually
No. Don't point at me.
Don't point at me.
Cool.
No. This is what I mean.
He's got that rockabilly vibe.
No.
Rockabilly.
No.
He's
a true individual, as my grandfather would say. Dig it.
All right.
Most people have to put an outfit together.
Right.
And they attempt to look cool. Some people grab the first thing that's hanging on the chair and then the other thing that's on the desk. That's what he does, and he kind of rolls out.
How about me? I grab something from the hamper. That's how cool I am.
Is that the odoriferous waft coming
this way? I don't wear underpants. I don't wear socks. Look at me. I'm practically
You're
new.
Handsome.
Yeah.
You're well put together. Just don't take your hat off.
There's nothing wrong with me. And let me say this. This is a full head of hair here. I don't wear this hat as an excuse for a bald spot. I wear it because I'm cool.
Do you have plugs?
No, I don't have plugs.
You could throw
that
out.
He's got
a lot.
You could scrub the floors with it.
Yeah.
Head spins.
Play your cards right. I may give you a little buffing. All right.
I'm ready.
Let's get to the phones. What do you say now?
Let's
break it down. And speak to Joe, who's 23. Joe?
Yo, Adam.
What's happening?
I had gotten back from a deployment a few months ago.
Military deployment.
Yes.
Where were you? Iraq. Okay.
Yeah. And me and my wife, we've been coping with the turn fine, you know, getting back adjusting everything. But the sex has been kind of painful for her. I guess not during, but afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I guess she describes them as like sharp, deep pains.
Like, sharp, deep pains. Yeah. How long are you guys doing it for?
20 minutes, 30.
20 minutes?
On average.
So this didn't happen.
Average off.
How long were you married before you went to Iraq?
Almost exactly a year.
And this never happened? You never had this problem occur at that time or something new?
Not as often. Not as often.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I'm no doctor. Bruce is, but he's boring, so I'll just speak.
I've got ideas.
And you got ideas, too?
Yeah.
Well, she should probably get a checkup just to make sure there's no trouble down there. And then maybe it's a little lubrication thing.
No,
Jessica,
actually being a woman and having investigated these womanly things, there's a thing actually called a retroflex uterus that 25% of women have that's like, it's the equivalent to being left-handed. It's actually tipped the opposite way.
Uh-huh.
And what happens during intercourse is it's actually because it's tipped slightly to the back instead of the front with certain angles and with, excuse my terminology, heavy thrusting. There's deep, sharp pains, and that can come from actually the angle, which the position that you have.
All right.
And it's...
But now he's saying the pain is only after intercourse, not during?
Right.
Well, this is getting cathartic for Jessica.
Do you have
a retroflex uterus?
During?
Do you have one of those?
Yes, I do.
I'm guessing
Thank you, Dr. Katz. on Bedford Boulevard in Beverly Hills. It's like being left-handed. I mean, it's
yeah.
Like,
no,
it's
it
really
means you're
natural.
Creative.
And I mean, the first time my doctor said to me, and he was down under the sheet, and he said, "Oh, you got a retroflex." I didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
He's a
and he
Klansman
said, "Be careful
or?
During heavy thrusting."
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't see him anymore.
That's nice.
We're already talking about heavy thrusting. What about you?
Yeah. What about Johnny Rockabilly? Is he a heavy thruster? Mr. Bell?
Johnny Rockabilly.
I know this guy. I've seen these guys. They're trying.
No,
he's so cool.
The leather and the
smooth as butter. He's perfect.
You know, does he wear jeans with them cuffed up and then
no,
boots?
He doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Actually,
so he's got you fooled into thinking he doesn't try.
This is good. This is a good mark of character. He made a bet with his best friend in eighth grade, his skating buddy, that they would never wear bell bottoms, and they would peg their pants for the rest of their life. So they both still have the bet going.
And they peg their pants.
And they're 35 years old.
But that's trying.
No, they don't
peg
their
pants.
No, he doesn't peg them. He just doesn't buy.
He buys
bottoms.
Them pegged. Oh,
no,
okay.
He doesn't buy. Pegged.
All right. Hey, okay. Hey, Joe.
So, Joe, what?
Honey,
what
I'm sorry.
Your wife needs to have a pelvic exam. Okay. And you were gone for a year.
Right.
Okay. So it just may take some time. What Adam mentioned about the lubricant's a good idea. I'm not sure if you're using lubricant, but to add that. You know, vaginismus is a condition where you have contraction of the vaginal muscle involuntarily.
Yeah.
That's usually pain during intercourse.
Right.
And then what Jessica was mentioning is another situation where you probably expect to have the pain during intercourse. So she really needs to have a pelvic exam. And there are other questions the doctor will talk to her about in terms of birth control pills and look for any evidence of scarring or any lesions.
That takes all kinds. But listen, everybody, just double down on the oral sex and everything
the
will
matter.
Everything. All your troubles will magically melt away.
Oh, dear.
That's what women like. Am I right?
Yeah. Depends on the mood.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, most gals are either in or they're out on it. The ones that don't enjoy it are, they just usually enjoy the intercourse, you know. They're zesty, passionate people. But you could take it or leave it?
Yeah, it depends on the mood.
Really? All right.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm... This is too much information.
Too much. Right. Too much. It's too much.
You sound
and
very normal.
And next.
Too much.
Yeah, I'm very normal.
Yeah.
Very well-adjusted girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Ty?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
I have a bit of a dilemma. My penis pierced twice. And I had sex the other day with my girlfriend of a couple months.
Yeah.
And she was on her period, and we kind of were unprotected. And now my penis has swelled up, and I don't know if she can get pregnant.
Okay. Well, let's start from the start here. What kind of piercings do you have?
I have one right under the head and then one pretty much right through it.
Yeah, and...
How long ago did you have the piercings done?
I had those done about 4 or 5 months ago.
So everything's completely healed up?
Everything's completely healed.
And you say one right through the head. What does that mean exactly?
From top to bottom.
From top to bottom, straight through the urethra?
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, when you urinate, what does it come out like wiper spray?
Oh, no, it comes out normal.
Comes out normal, but how could it come out normal if you had something going straight through the center of the head of your penis, top to bottom?
I have no idea. It's boggled my mind since day one.
Maybe pee sitting down.
Since day one. Well wait a minute. Does it go, is it a barbell?
Yes, it is.
Does it go right through the opening of your penis?
No, it's actually about 3/8 of an inch from the tip. So I'm not sure if it goes directly through. I offset it a little bit.
Hold on a second.
Goes through. It's called Prince Albert. I had a friend who used to be a tattoo piercer.
He said it goes straight through the head.
He means through the top on the side. It's not directly through the urethra. It's not possible.
The people call the shore retards. And one of the... I'll tell you. And here's how I know they're retarded.
They're special.
Yes, they're specially...
They need help.
They're specially retarded. They cannot explain things. And to me, this is just a basic IQ test. Like, can you describe something?
But they're nervous, Adam. They're nervous. They're calling... You know, don't know if you're going to make fun of them. Some of them have really serious problems.
Well.
But wait, what was the thing about him getting her pregnant? What was the pregnant blood?
He has a couple questions.
I'm not done with the penis yet. But the idea
he's irritated. We need to let
the idea that you're putting I spend the better part of each day keeping sharp objects away from my penis. That's all I do. It's you know, it's in bubble wrap right now. I pack it. You know, here, before I leave, here's what I do. I wrap it with bubble wrap. Then I put duct tape around it. Then I put it into a UPS pouch with the foam peanuts. And I pack it into that, and then I wrap more duct tape around the ass and toes. I mean, it takes 20 minutes and a box cutter to find my penis. And it makes going to the bathroom difficult.
What is lurking in the depths of your subconscious that you come up with these things?
I'm not lying. I pack my junk like I'm sending it overseas. You understand? And the idea that you're going to take a spear and push it through the head of your penis and then push another, it's just like, it makes my teeth hurt.
But and that's his lifestyle choice, though.
I know, but it smacks of something wrong. It just means something's
up. But in other parts
up.
Of the world, that's considered, you know, it all depends on the culture. This is a Western culture.
Look, close your eyes and picture the cultures that pierce their penis.
Yeah.
All right? There you go.
Now he's 16.
We still haven't talked about white chicks yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
So let's help...
Well, hold on. We're going to get into white chicks. Ty?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, you have two penis piercings.
Yes, I do.
You had sex with your girlfriend on her period.
Yes.
And by the way, this guy has a stunt penis. Like, what won't it do? You know, bring it on! What do you need? I'll jump Snake River Canyon on this penis.
Knievel.
Periods? Fine. Spears? Whatever. Hoops of fire? Take a crusty ass, light it on fire. I'll hump it. There you go.
Yeah.
Your penis should be wearing a cape.
Maybe
it's
super
it's the world's greatest stuntman.
It's okay though. But wait, he has a question.
Oh yeah,
he has three
I'll
questions.
Have to try that.
You can't. Okay. You're not going to get her pregnant when she's on her period. I know there's technically a chance it could happen, but it's and Drew likes to scare everybody. But the reality is,
there is a small chance.
Well,
very
small. The point is, you don't know for sure that she's on her period, and that's the whole issue. Is when there's bleeding and somebody assumes that this is the period, it may not be, and people have gotten pregnant in those situations. But the thing I'm most concerned about is if you have redness and swelling, you can develop a cellulitis of the penis, just like you can develop a skin infection anywhere else in your body. And if you have swelling and redness, you need to go to the emergency room, like right now, this evening.
Okay? Oh, all right.
Because I'm not saying you have flesh-eating disease, but that is a type of cellulitis, and
so
as
get
we don't,
it checked out.
You got to get it. You got to get it checked out this evening. That's very important. And
this evening,
yeah,
because he could get something that
because
would,
by the morning he
could wake up dead.
He could wake up
like
dead.
Like gangrene?
Or
Bob Marley, and his foot fell off.
Is that what happened to Bob Marley?
Something happened.
I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't treat an infection on his foot.
See how tough it is being a black man. Your limbs fall off. You got to get the big rims. It's a tough life.
Yeah.
Tough life.
Didn't he have a brain tumor? Didn't he ultimately die of a brain tumor?
Yeah. I didn't hear about the foot part.
No, I didn't. But, you know, I believe it.
Is that an urban legend?
People that have diabetes that develop skin infections in that area, there's a certain very malignant form of infection.
His foot didn't fall off. It became shriveled.
Get to the hospital. That's what he should do.
Yeah. And then if you start getting into it, people that have lots of piercings, and I don't want to have all the piercing people call and complaining, but lots and lots of piercings. There are sometimes other issues.
There are issues
lurking in the
definite issues. All right,
and
so
I think you
quiet down, Jessica.
Yeah,
white chicks.
Yeah,
I hear this movie's funny.
It is really funny, actually.
What is your part in it?
I play a character named Tori, who is along with Busy Phillips, who was in here the other day, and Jennifer Carpenter. We play the three best friends of Sean and Marlon Wayans, and in their female form as the Wilton sisters. Or maybe they changed it to Wilson sisters. I don't remember. But we are their three best friends. We've grown up with them, and we actually believe that they are
the original girls. Right.
And I play Tori, who's kind of the axis on which the insanity revolves in those three girls. I'm kind of the controlling, know-it-all, sassy redhead. I'm a redhead in the movie. I'm actually a blonde, but...
Wow, what an actress. No, I mean, that takes guts. Look at Bruce
Keenan's
over there with
idea.
That red hair.
It was Keenan's idea. 12 hours before our first shot, I was a blonde, and he came into the makeup trailer, and he stood behind me and scrunched up his face in the mirror, and he was like, now, what are we going to do with this hair? And I was like, what?
He made you into a redhead?
And he said, put the red wigs on. And I was like, great, red wigs. Ooh, fun. And he was like, now get the dye. And within 3 hours, I was a redhead.
Oh, so they put the wig on first just to see what it would look like.
Yeah.
And then once they liked the look, they dyed it.
Yeah, it actually takes 2 weeks to make a custom wig, which would have happened, but Keenan had the inspiration 12 hours before we shot, so they convinced me that Keenan has the vision.
Yeah.
And so what happened.
Let me tell you about Keenan. If you came in with red hair, he would have switched it to blonde.
That's his thing.
That's his
he
thing.
Took a,
he likes to manipulate.
Anna Faris from a blonde to a...
That's what he does. He manipulates.
Black hair.
He manipulates.
Yeah, well, he's...
That's the way
of the
wind.
He has a vision. Keenan has a vision. Yeah, I play the pill-popping, chain-smoking, martini-swigging control freak publicist who's trying to get the boys into the Hamptons magazine.
Now, the story, the girls, I didn't know this but until Busy filled us in on it.
What did Busy tell you? She's on Conan right now as we speak.
She is?
I'm Busy.
She can't hear me.
Quaking in her boots. On a psychic level, she can hear me.
The Wayans brothers play not just any blondes, two blondes that are... I don't know what happened to the two blondes, but they're two existing blondes.
Yes.
I mean,
you want to know about those two blondes? What happens?
Just for clarity, if Bruce and I were going to do the equivalent movie and we're going to become black women, we wouldn't
arrested.
Just be black women. We would be the Williams sisters. You'd be like Serena Williams. I'd be Venus Williams,
right.
The tennis players.
Right.
You see, the two people that already existed is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to the original two blonde chicks? Can you tell us?
Yeah, the original two blonde chicks are... This is how this whole story begins. Sean and Marlon Wayans are FBI agents who endanger their job by... incorrectly pulling off a scam. It falls flat, and they're assigned to the outcast position of picking up these two socialites at an airport instead of hitting the beat on the streets.
Well, they play by their own rules, I imagine.
Right. They play by their own rules, and it doesn't work the first time. So they get, they get the crappy job, shall we say.
Right.
And they are assigned to pick up these two heiresses and escort them home to the Hamptons
from
the airport. But suddenly, there's been a rash of kidnapping heiresses.
Uh-huh.
This is why they are escorting them.
Right.
They go to pick up the girls. There's a little dog. A little mishap happens in the car, which I can't really divulge at this moment. But it ends up that the women are disfigured to the point that they refuse to go to the Hamptons, and it has been assigned as their job to escort these girls there. So
disfigured.
They decide... it's a long explanation.
Wow.
They decide to become these women, and they lock the other two women in a hotel room, and all the scientists come in and do the masks and the legs and the suck it in and the shave it and the snap it.
And they fool even their own parents.
There's no parents happening in there.
Even their best friends.
Even their best friends. And we have to be pretty vapid and vacuous to be.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're getting high, you're popping pills, you're drinking.
Suspend the disbelief. It's a comedy. If someone goes in there thinking, if your immediate first thought is, they don't look like the original two girls, you should get up and leave the theater because it's such an inane, ludicrous comedy in the first place. You kind of have to surrender to it, and that's where the fun begins.
All right, well, listen, buy your ticket.
It's funny.
Yeah, go in and then leave.
It's actually funny.
Oh, I mean, hang out
really
and laugh.
Funny.
I hear it's funny. I think Siskel, Nieper, Roper, Roper,
what did
Nieper,
they do?
Or whatever. I think they gave it, I think
Real
it got
thumbs
two thumbs up. I think it got two thumbs up. All right, Jessica.
Wow.
Yeah. Jessica Caulfield is here tonight. She is in White Chicks.
Two thumbs up.
I'm pretty sure.
White Chicks.
We'll take
the
ourselves.
Redhead and White Chicks.
She's the red and the white. We'll take just a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jessica Caulfield is here.
Caulfield. That sounds
What'd I say, Co?
Michiganian. You said Caulfield.
All right, I'm
and then
say.
You said Caulfield, like a true Detroiter.
I said that's Caulfield. And I'm not Dr.
Drew. Yeah, I'm going to write it phonetically.
And this is Dr. It's, Bruce.
Right.
Oh, did I say that? did I say Drew?
Okay.
He's doing a crossword.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I said Dr. Drew is here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's tough. Here's
how many years? I mean, really.
Here's the thing about radio. So much of it is just autopilot.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, hey, we're connecting, aren't we?
No, we're having a moment.
Yeah.
But you just get used to saying the same thing over and over and over. You have to do it. Otherwise, it just be, you know, I do the show high and drunk, you know. Otherwise, I'd screw up, you know. Board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah. If I had to think about that every time, I'd screw it up every time. Exactly. All right. But Bruce is a board certified physician. Yes. Believe it or not, Dr. Spaz is certified.
Dr. Spaz.
Dr. Drew will be back next week. All right. White Chicks, name of the movie, came out yesterday in theaters as we speak. If we all band together, we can make it number one over the weekend.
Join hands.
Join hands. Everybody and rush to theater. Hands. All right. Let's speak to Robert, who's 17. Robert?
Hello?
What's happening?
All right. I just have a quick question. This might be more of Adam's area, but I masturbate about like 4 to 6 times a day sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, will that like mess up my penis or my will something go wrong in like the long run or?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Listen, Robert. You don't care. This is a bogus call.
No, I swear to God, I'm serious.
He sounds serious.
Yeah, he sounds serious.
All right. Yeah. What did you say? 4 to 6 times?
Yeah.
All right. So that's a little light. You may want to step it up a little bit. I like to see in the 8 to 10 range by, let's say, the end of the summer.
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
No, because, I mean, I was normal about it until my friend, we were talking about it, and he said that I'm going to mess up my penis or something, and I started thinking about it.
Yeah, okay. Listen, do you mess up your legs walking? Do you mess up, you know what I mean? Do you mess up your bicep doing curls?
You could.
If he's using Drano as a lubricant, he might mess something.
Yeah, stay away from the Prel, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to fall off or anything.
But that's normal.
He doesn't want it to fall off
17?
Or anything. This is a bogus
normal.
Call. Let's stop defending Robert.
I
don't
he's
want it
17.
To fall off.
He's 17.
Yeah. Look,
you forgot what it's like to be a 17-year-old. They think like that.
Yeah. If your penis fell off,
he's not
off,
forgotten. He's still your penis, rather arrested development.
Forgotten. I'm not. I'm 15.
Freud.
I'm big on God. If your penis fell off from excessive masturbation, half the guys in the country would be running around with their dick in their hand. Let's face it.
Yeah, but
obviously it's not going to come off.
But Robert calling
Robert
to talk to you
bogus.
About masturbation. I mean, he's coming to Mecca,
bogus.
The Mecca of masturbation.
That's true.
And Adam is the guru. So why it makes sense to me.
All right. But still, that's a half bogus call.
Yeah.
He doesn't think it's going to fall off.
Where are the relationship problems in those questions?
Yeah, where are they?
I mean, enough. We've had uterus chafing.
Yes.
I mean,
well, the next call I've chosen will satisfy you. I
all right.
Okay.
Melissa.
Melissa?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
My girlfriend, Angelina, she feels that if we have sex, she will be awkward afterwards.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
Why'd you drop her name? It's another bogus call. How dare you? I'll thank you not to call this show again.
Wait. Melissa's calling from 29 Palms. Any effort from 29 Palms? To reach out to him, to civilization.
Why? Just because it's the surface of the moon?
It's a ways out.
I heard it's nice there.
It is. Great place. But it's sort of remote.
They couldn't have just made it 30.
Did you dump her? What happened? Bombs. Did you drop the call? She's still there.
She's still there. Adam's just.
Let me tell you something.
If I was in charge
of 29 Palms, I would just say, look, we're either going down to 25 or we're going to make it even 30. This 29 is driving me insane.
No, because 9 plus 2 is 11, and that's the number of mastery, Adam. Don't you see
11
in numerology?
11 is the number of mastery?
Yeah.
29 is a prime number. So.
Mm-hmm. Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. This is a bogus call.
Okay, well.
Is it a bogus call, Melissa? Why don't we ask her?
No, it's not.
Well,
you mentioned
someone's name, and that's a telltale sign
right,
that it's a bogus call.
You're calling Angelina your girlfriend, and she's you haven't done anything with her.
Well,
how is she?
All right, listen, I can't talk to anyone who does the three Mississippi before they answer every question. It's not going to work.
Okay, well, here's another relationship.
She's fine.
Give us a profound one. Somebody call from.
All right. 29 Palms.
Big Sir or something. I'm the aliens live in Big Sir. I want to call from one of those people. I love the people in Big Sir.
Yeah. They're great.
They are.
I don't know anybody in Big Sur.
Have you been to Big Sur?
Yeah, you drive through Big Sur, but you never stop and talk to anybody.
Of course you do.
No, you just keep moving and you roll the windows up.
It's like Twin Peaks. Big Sur is like Twin Peaks.
Big Sur is a spectacular country, by the way. Better than almost anywhere on the planet. You take that coastline from San Francisco, Carmel, Big Sur in there, San Simeon. Ever go to Hearst Castle?
Oh, I love Hearst Castle.
Spectacular. We're going. Let's go tonight.
It's magnificent. Here's
the point. We leave now. We can be rolling in there in time to catch the first bus going up the hill to Hearst Castle about 7 a.m.
And do you know what the stars look like right now? They're so thick you can't see the sky. And there's a shooting star every 10 seconds.
We could go hit that marble pool. And then maybe the indoor pool.
There's a book, Citizen Hearst, one of the most fascinating books I've read.
We'll go.
That guy was such a
Jessica and I will bunk up in the master suite.
Yeah, with the fireplace.
Yeah, like one like Teddy Roosevelt slept in.
It's magical up there. It's magical.
We're going up there. We're going to make some magic.
Make some
Marissa?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Hi. First of all, how are you guys?
Good.
Okay, good. I've been friends with the guy for about 14 years. I'm 16, so I've grown up with him, and I moved out to Visalia from San Jose. And we ended up starting to talk and getting to know each other, and in that other kind of way, except just as friends. We started hooking up for a while, and he tried to hook me up with his best friend, so. To get him jealous. I started to
Him. You said you started hooking up with him, and then he tried to hook you up with his best friend?
Wow.
Yeah, and I confronted him about that. I told him, what do you think you're doing? Are you trying to pass me around? And he said, no, that's not that. It's just that he thought you were really pretty, and he's really shy, so why don't you talk to him? So I was like, all right. So I started talking to him. I ended up liking his friend. Mm-hmm. We became boyfriend and girlfriend for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. I broke up with him because I realized that deep inside I still had feelings for my best friend. And as soon as I broke up with him...
This guy's your best friend?
Yes.
Okay.
And as soon as I broke up with him, I started to, get the courage to tell him how I felt, that I still had feelings for him. Mm-hmm. And he ended up coming out before me saying that he has a girlfriend, and he hasn't had a girlfriend since he was 15. He's 19 now.
Yeah.
And he's in love with her and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he has no idea how.
Jessica's going nuts. Yeah,
well, I'm going nuts over here.
It's not
going
to work. He's not into you. Yeah,
Marissa. No. I've got something to say here.
Is your uterus facing Mecca?
Listen, no. Let's be serious, Marissa.
That's
your
answer.
You're like me when I was 17.
She's 16.
Well, I dated my high school sweetheart for 7 years, off and on. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And it was this funny kind of comedic little game, or, a joke by the gods, that whenever I was dating someone, he wasn't. Whenever he was dating someone, I wasn't. And it went on and on. He was my best friend, really, for about 5 years before we ever started dating. And it kind of rotated like that, naturally, until the universe... part of the season all ended up working out, but
best
you just kind
of for 5 years and then dated for seven.
Yeah,
when did you start dating him? Like the 10th grade or something?
No, ninth grade.
Yeah, but
about 3 weeks ago, he came out here to Visalia and he cheated on his girlfriend with me.
Okay,
and I feel really bad. I felt really bad.
Listen, Marissa, let me give you,
but he's your best friend, see. When you're 16, yeah, but you never know. Hey, sometimes he could be the one. I know that sounds silly.
No, listen. Irresponsible advice.
Too much entanglement.
Yes.
No. It is irresponsible in many ways. But I got to tell you, but back when I was that age and I was with my high school sweetheart, and that's the same kind of thing that happened, and I was 16. I mean, it's natural that you feel remorse because that means you have a good heart and you're conscious and you're awake and you have feelings. And that's okay. And you can talk with him about that.
But, no.
Yeah,
and draw a boundary and draw a line and say that you won't do that again.
He called me the next day saying that it was wrong what we did.
Okay. Listen. Jessica.
Why is everybody getting on me?
Listen. No.
I've been through this experience. I'm not condoning it now. I'm just saying.
Here's all I'm saying. This guy is not a great guy. He's a manipulator.
Dirtbag.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's a bad guy.
You can't say he's a dirtbag.
He's a manipulator. He cheats on his girlfriends.
Cheats.
He used you for a physical relationship. He passed you off to a friend of his. He used you again for a physical encounter while he has a girlfriend. He's not a great guy. He is not in love with you.
Wait, but did you ask her if it was a physical encounter or was there love there?
I
really don't believe in that sort of love thing. I've always told him it's never been that way.
Good. I'm glad you don't, because you long for it. But, yes, you long for this guy to love you. He doesn't love you.
He's emotionally unavailable, but he's physically available. Okay.
We both have a relationship because he lives so far away.
Now, look, you're kidding yourself.
Okay, I agree with you.
You're deluding yourself. You're delusional, Marissa. You're in love with this guy. He's unavailable, probably like your dad.
That's why you're in love with him, yeah.
And that's where the crazy attraction is. His friend is a nice guy and available, and that's why you're not attracted to him.
You dumped him, right.
And you dumped him. You want?
Did you need like my dad?
What's that?
Did you say like my dad?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't have a father.
Where is your dad?
He's far away somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
Where's my bourbon? Unavailable.
Right. He's unavailable. He abandoned you, and now this is what attraction is for you.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's a horrible curse, and I don't know why God would or Mother Nature or Darwin or whoever would plan it this way, that the worse your dad was, the worse a guy you got to hook up with in your adult life. It's a horrible curse.
But it's there to teach you the lesson. That's my experience. Is that you keep attracting that guy. No, till you hit a wall, and then you realize, oh, my God, I've been dating my father, and that's when the recovery starts.
Three kids and 25
years
later.
But not everybody, it happens when they're 60.
Yeah, sometimes it never happens.
I realized it in my early 20s.
All right, but look
at you. That, and then,
you're smart, you're good-looking, you're not from Visalia.
Marissa and Visalia. Hey. Marissa, you're 16, and you're in entanglements.
She has a whole life ahead of her.
You're in entanglements that are going to make it very difficult for you to figure out what's going on. And if you could listen to what Adam's saying about your dad, and try and just stop all the relationships and go get some help, because you're acting out based on things that have happened to you.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep
yo-yoing. It's a pattern that's manifesting itself consciously.
But how do we get Marissa to recognize that? Because until she does...
To talk to, a therapist, an analyst, someone you can sit with who has an objective.
Right, but right now she's asking very superficial questions that don't address what's really going on.
Because she doesn't consciously realize that the pattern
that's what we want to help her do. Marissa, you understand?
Yeah. She understands.
Yeah.
I put her on hold. Her head's spinning like a dreidel. She's 16. Her poor dad abandoned her, or her poor, abandoned her family.
If we could plant a seed of awareness so that at some point light goes off in two years.
In 2 years after you've dated the same guy, maybe three
same
or four more times, same type
don't
of guy.
Don't get pregnant.
That's what I meant.
Go to college. Find pregnant. Jesus Christ. All right.
Or Allah or Buddha or Krishna or any of those.
They're all great. They're all fantastic.
They're all fantastic.
Especially Allah.
One truth, many paths.
We cannot judge.
Don't get them off
what
on
you
the
say,
9/11 thing.
No.
Allah.
One truth, many paths. Whatever floats your boat.
Yes, no judgment.
As long as
nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
I was, world's greatest transsexual. It was on this show, the world's angriest transsexual.
Nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
Week. God, I hate that guy.
Wait, what did it say?
No one's his hero but Jesus.
Nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
You know what drives me crazy? Those bumper stickers that say, Jesus is God, read the Bible. Aren't those, that makes me upset.
Relax, everyone cool down.
Everybody's God, read my lips,
All I can say is I was skipping rope in my living room tonight with my headphones on and the TV on and the sound turned down, and I saw the headlines, Trouble Crisis in the Middle East, and I thought, oh, what could it be now?
What's new?
Oh, you could knock me over with a feather. Trouble in the Middle East? What's next? Water in the ocean? Oh, my God, there's a crisis. Something's going on in Israel? Oh, no. I'm sure they'll have it sorted out by the weekend. That was my thought.
Something's been going on in Israel since time began.
Crisis in the Middle East. But again, it's not the people, and we cannot judge. Those are the two things.
This is human nature. This is, if you look through history, this
region,
is the cycle of
the
history.
The region is cursed. That soil
is bad.
It's bad soil. That's all. It's not the people.
What?
All right. It's not the people. It couldn't be the people.
Human nature just repeats itself.
It's impossible that it's the people or the religion or any of that. It's impossible. It has to be something in the groundwater or something. Everyone is wonderful. Everyone's the same. Everyone's beautiful.
It's a fulfillment.
Yeah, but I mean.
Based.
Something in our groundwater here. What are you talking about?
No, cannot
this
have.
Is my falafel stand rapping.
No, cannot have. No, no mixing. No, cannot have. Read menu. No, get fired. No.
Yeah. Yeah, go into the Zanku Chicken and enjoy yourself. All right. Jessica Caulfield is here tonight. Yeah, nailed it that time.
Yeah.
White Chicks, name of the movie. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. No better radio talent than Bruce, who stumbles in the second the mics go high and goes, are we late?
He was helping me find chocolate. I wanted
yelling
chocolate.
Yelling into the mic, are we late?
You could care less about the guest needs. You're just self-absorbed.
Adam, I didn't have any change in my pocket, and Adam wouldn't even put the money in the machine for the chocolate, and I'm the guest.
Adam, you know how I literally became a millionaire? Or became a literal millionaire? Not by buying every guest who blows through here a candy bar.
I'm not blowing through here. I'm gracing through here with my lilting presence.
That's true. All right. That's smart.
I'm blessing the radio studio.
Let me tell you something about Jessica. Jessica's been working in movies and television for too long because she's like, where's the candy? And
we're like, there's supposed to be a room with the things.
Over to where the candy was.
For the
and it was in a machine that I had to put money in.
Let me tell you where the candy is.
The coffee was made 6 hours ago.
The candy in a radio station is the same place they keep the candy at the airport and at the prison. It's in the vending machine. You understand? You got to buy
What's the metaphor?
And she's like, Jessica's like, well, where's the... I thought you were... I said, baby, this is radio. I almost had to quit to get decent coffee in here.
Yeah, and you should have seen them tonight. They were really scared because there was no coffee mate, and Adam has to have his coffee mate, and they said he wouldn't go on the air, right? Because you draw clear boundaries, and that's why you're on Love Line.
Basically, here's what happened. After 6 years of using stuff that was just labeled as whitener, powdered whitener, which was really just, they've
ground
been banging
up bone
out
marrow. It's like ground up
erasers.
Bone marrow.
Yeah. I said, we got a little milk in here, and we got to get a little Starbucks. Not a fresh cup of Starbucks, just get a sack once a week. And I asked the program director, and they said no.
Jeez.
So I said I was going to quit. So they eventually got What about White Chicks? You guys had craft service, catering.
Oh, yeah.
You work on a movie.
We all got a little plump on that one, if you look closely.
We're
a little plump.
You know the weird...
It was Vancouver. It was cold.
There were
cookies on a table.
The thing that's crazy about the industry is death in the industry is getting fat. If you get fat, that could spell a career.
If you're a woman,
career
you're
ending.
Finished.
Yeah, even if you're a guy, even if you're... If you think you're going to be a leading man and pack on a few pounds, that ain't going to work either, but especially if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. In general, you get fat, it's not good for your career in the industry.
Right, unless you're a character actor, like
right,
Jennifer Coolidge from Legally Blonde.
Don't crap on my point.
Okay,
my
sorry.
Point is you're shooting your 16-hour days, you have 5 hours of downtime in between setups and lights and stuff, and there's nothing but food and nothing to do. And it's all free, and it's the best. And you just sit around staring at the craft service table thinking, don't eat. But you can only do that for about 4 hours before you go over there and start grazing.
Right.
And it's really... And the other second thing that'll ruin you in the business is like substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, or whatever. Every present you ever get in the business is booze.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, don't get fat, don't drink, here's some booze,
here's
some M&Ms.
Here's some chocolate chip.
There's some s'mores. Cookies. There you go. Knock yourself out. Yeah, every gift is either...
Coffee
is big cake. Baskets filled with cookies, muffins, and booze. Like they're trying to kill. Really, it is a mixed message.
There's a dichotomy.
That's right. But Jessica has overcome that dichotomy.
Yes, I have.
Now, meanwhile, we got to get her some change to get into the
I want some peanut M&Ms because they taste good. And this is when I get to have treats.
You should see Drew, by the way, when he gets the peanut M&Ms and the thing cycles and it stops right at the edge and doesn't fall down. Drew
what does he do?
Throws a forearm shiver into the thing. He's like a
he's
linebacker. Yeah, I mean, he throws his shoulder into it. He goes nuts. He spazzes on the thing.
Ooh.
It's scary.
He seems so calm.
He's a passionate
man.
Right, we know that.
He's passionate about his ladies, and he's passionate about his snacks.
Ladies.
Do not take either one away from him.
Ladies.
He was passionate about his ladies. Now he's passionate about his lady. Yeah, White Chicks.
White Chicks.
Out in theaters
as we speak.
Funny.
And there's a hip-hop dance-off with, like... 8 white women, and it's worth it just for that.
Emily?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yes.
We got 45 seconds. Your dad groped you when you were, a year, last year?
Yes.
Emily?
Yeah. Oh,
come in, give phones. Me a hug, yeah.
Your dad groped you when you were 16 years old?
Yes. Yeah.
He must have been drunk. Was he drunk?
No. He's like a very religious person.
And he was sober, and he touched you inappropriately at 16.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you tell him to stop?
Yes. We were, like, wrestling or whatever, because we were, like, in a self-defense class, and he groped, and I was like, holy shit. Sorry.
Wait a minute. I got to put her on hold. We got to take a break. He groped you in the self-defense class? I mean, right next to the guy who you kick in the groin? You know what I mean?
Doesn't meet the profile for the father abuser.
I'm putting Emily on hold. I feel bad for her. On the other hand, she dropped the S-bomb. So we'll get back to her and her groping and her class and all that after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, board certified and all that stuff. Drew back sometime next week.
Yeah. Dr. Drew?
Yeah, good question.
Who's that little kid?
Jessica Caulfield is here tonight.
Hello.
She is from the new movie, White Chicks.
From the movie.
Yes, it is coming
like
out.
Another planet.
She's representing the movie, White Chicks.
The redhead.
Which you've seen the advertisements for, surely. It is coming out, came out yesterday. So it'll be out tomorrow when you get to the movies. All right. Let's finish up with Emily, who's 17. Emily says her dad, who's a very religious man, groped her. Yes?
Yes.
While you were wrestling.
Yeah.
Maybe her dirty mouth like turns them on, perhaps.
During a... and listen, Emily, you can't use profanity on the air.
I'm sorry, it slipped.
Okay. I know, but you need to contain yourself. All
right,
so your father, is he like a born-again Christian?
Jewish.
The phone line, there's this crazy horrible curse, which is we can't hear the answer. Everyone listening can hear the answer, and so we seem like idiots because we say, huh, what, huh, what? And everyone at home or in their car can hear the answer except for the people in this
modern facility. They can't get the telephone straight.
This is a modern facility?
This is a sterile modern facility.
Emily?
As you know.
All right, so we'll try to get through this. You were in some sort of self-defense class with your father?
Yeah, we were at home practicing, and it started with him, like, groping over the clothes, and then it progressed to him groping underneath my shirt. And then one day we were in the pool, and we were, like, wrestling around in the pool, and he fingered me, like, he made penetration, but I hit him when I realized what he was doing, and he decided he didn't want to swim anymore and got out.
Well, maybe he's just very thorough in his rape simulation. You know, I mean, a lot of guys really create an environment, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
How old are you? How old?
17. I'm 17.
All right,
now.
Is that natural to wrestle with your father?
No,
she was raised by this guy, so who knows what her reality is. But this guy, if he wasn't drunk or high, hopefully has a brain tumor or is just so colossally effed up, if what you're saying is true, that I wouldn't even really consider him my dad.
No. Sounds dangerous, actually. Dad, do you have any sisters in the household? Or
yeah.
Mom still around? What's your family like?
Okay, my parents divorced when I was 2. I moved in with my dad like 4 years ago, and so I could be homeschooled. There's an 11-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy in the house. He told me not to tell, so I didn't tell. I waited a year to tell, and I couldn't handle it anymore. I told my mom. That way, because, he stopped, like, in October. He stopped doing anything.
What does he do for a living?
He's a firefighter.
And he's a religious fanatic who homeschools his kids?
Yeah, he's a converted Jew.
So you weren't raised by him, but you moved in with him in a later point?
No, we had visitation rights, joint custody.
He converted to Judaism?
Yeah, he was like Christian, and then he went Jewish.
Yeah, this is not the work of a true Jew. This is the work of a convert. Cheap imitation.
Like Sammy
God
Davis.
Bless
yeah, this is a Sammy Davis type.
Davis syndrome.
Yeah, this is a Rabbi Shmuley move. This is a Sammy Davis move.
Rabbi Shmuley.
Yeah. No, the Jews don't molest. They, that's not their thing.
No.
They do other things.
Okay, so you reported this to your biologic mother.
Yes. That was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And what did she do?
Okay, we went to the police department and filed a report. And then I talked to a detective, and now it's sitting on the DA's office on the desk, waiting to see if it's pressed charge.
And where are you living now? You're not living with him anymore.
No, right? I went like the next day and got most of my clothes and my like immediate things out of the house,
mm-hmm.
and filed a protective order. I'm with my
good.
Mom.
Okay, Emily, here's the good news. The bad news is your dad's nuts.
Yeah.
The good news is you're really, really sane.
Mm-hmm.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for what he did to you, but here's the whole thing, everybody. Feel free. Here's what you need to do. So you're smart. You're like you react correctly to trauma. Everything's good with you. You should get your grades good. You should go to college somewhere. Your dad, don't ever feel guilty about any, pressing charges or anything like that. And here's the worst part. Here's what everyone needs to do. If your parents are bad, if your parents try to hurt you, they try to molest you, it's okay to write them off.
Right.
It's okay mm-hmm. to label them as a bad person and walk away from them. And mm-hmm. the problem is you start feeling guilty and remorseful and all that kind of stuff, and that's what ruins your life.
Yeah.
They ruined your relationship, not you. You reacted appropriately.
Yep.
He tried to, sexually take advantage of you. That is bizarre behavior for a father. And if you never talk to him again, it's perfectly appropriate.
Right. And she wants to know if she's more likely to act out because of what happened to her. And I think you've already answered the question, basically.
Be careful when you choose a boyfriend.
Right.
Your instincts will be bad initially, but you're smart. You're taking care of business. You get a little therapy. And you'll be fine.
Right. And, yeah, and the message is there's safe adults out there, and if you're being victimized, even if it's your parent, somebody that will do this is very sick, and they will make you feel guilty as if
mm-hmm.
you're bad mm-hmm. and you caused it to happen. Mm-hmm. So
he's going to be the only Jewish fireman, by the way. He's converting.
Well, a convert.
He's in Oklahoma. He's a fireman. He's
yeah.
going to be the only Jew firefighter in Oklahoma. I can guarantee you that.
Well, she said he's fanatically religious. Maybe some Jewish offshoot sect. It doesn't even sound.
Yes, because
I don't even think it has anything to do with that. It's just the disease. It's the disease in him.
That's
a sickness. And I mean, you wouldn't let a friend do that. You wouldn't let a stranger do that. So that doesn't guarantee your father the right to also do that.
Perpetrators get involved in sects like that to have mm-hmm. better access to vulnerable individuals. So when you talk about an extreme...
You say sex or sect?
Okay. Sect.
That's confusing. All right. Because let me tell you what the Jews say to firefighting. They say, feh. Feh to firefighting. There's no Jewish firefighters.
My father. Was.
Feh. My
father's...
What is he? What's his religion?
Well,
you say feh?
He went to church with us his whole life, but he was a deputy chief in the New York Fire. He works there right to the top.
He says, feh to fire...
Just because someone says they're religious doesn't mean they're spiritual, and the act of being spiritual is practicing
right.
in all your affairs an awareness, a consciousness, kindness, compassion. Religion doesn't mean anything.
Right on.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, Emily.
Yeah?
Was he just, he just convert to Judaism as we know it, or was it one of those crazy fanatical sects of the religion?
It's happened over time. I don't really understand your question.
Well, was he going to just a regular temple, or was it sort of an offshoot group of
is it cult?
People practicing
yeah.
some weird form of Judaism?
Well, it's like Messianic Jew, believe in Jesus, but...
Jews for Jesus.
Things. It's like a cult.
Yeah, some of those guys.
Some of those guys are a little off the wall. Some are very sincere. So it's who knows.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's obviously. In
well,
the
either way, it's important not to judge.
Yeah, but the great thing is that you took care of yourself and you drew that line and you immediately put yourself in a safe place, and you should congratulate yourself for that and feel good about it.
He should go. He should go to Israel. Plenty of fires over there. Plenty of car bombs going on.
Maybe you should go to Iraq and sell
yeah,
Bibles.
Head over there.
Sell some Bibles.
Be with your people, return to your land, and enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, because it's a utopia you guys have carved out for yourselves over there.
Okay.
It's wonderful. We can't judge. That's all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, but and you can also forgive him, but that doesn't mean you have to condone him because there's a difference
no.
between that.
Listen, screw him. He's a wanker.
No, but I mean, you draw the line. Job. He's.
Yeah, look, anybody who gets heavily into religion is already a little suspect to begin with. It always means there's something going on that's not right.
That's not true. It depends on how you mean
please.
Heavily, or you don't want to get into a
anyone
religious
who finds,
discussion with me.
Anybody who finds Jesus Christ halfway into life as an ex-junkie or, shot their business partner or something like that. The born-agains, all ex-gangbangers who stab someone in the neck, and now they can't sleep, so they find Jesus Christ. And it's the Judaism. It's all disaster.
Thou shalt not judge Adam, holy moly.
Hey, I can say whatever I want. I'm
yeah,
an atheist.
You can.
I'm just tired of all
atheist.
The religious crackpots running around this country and us having to have the reverence for them. Please.
It's all
please.
No, that's not to see, man's decrepit and behavior has put a stigma on the word religion. The word religion, the origin right. of the word religion is discipline in Latin. It's practice or discipline. It just means right. to practice or be disciplined in faith. But man has skewed that
right.
to such an extreme that it's because spirituality has become polluted.
All right, here's all I'm saying about religion and spirituality. First off,
they're two different things.
Shut
you
your pie hole, everybody,
listen,
with your
buddy.
Crappy religion. I've got an ass full of you and your crap. First off,
wow.
nonsense. Total
you need a
nonsense.
Colonic.
You guys, and believe me, if you idiots believed it
crap.
For 1 second, you'd shut up about it. But you don't believe it, so you got to spread it on everybody. Hopefully, if you can convert somebody, maybe you'll believe it a little more. You're insecure about it. Shut up with your crappy religion. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't care what it is, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Catholic. Shut up. It's nonsense. And just keep it to yourself.
Right.
Please.
Yeah, true spiritual practice is within that person,
yes.
not about...
They don't believe it, by the way. That's why they freak on you
right.
if you tell them you don't believe it, because they don't believe
it. Well, they're trying to validate their own beliefs by converting you.
They're
but then
what you
that's
call,
just...
They're what you call pussies who are scared to die.
They're
that's
hypocrites.
What it is.
There are a lot
pussies.
Of hypocrites, but that's what they're going through. That's natural.
I'm going to die, so I got to create some sort of fantasy about going visiting my grandparents and my dog in the mansion of God. Please,
well, most,
you pussies.
Most of these people that are extremists don't reflect the gods they believe in. It's just,
and they don't practice the principles
right.
in their affairs. The actual scriptures that they cite and quote, they do not practice in their daily life, and that's what spirituality is living it. And instead of talking about it, just being it.
Just get into why don't you just get into Lord of the Rings or something if you want a nice fantasy?
Middle Earth.
Get into D&D and leave the retarded
but
religion alone.
But that's a fantasy. But you've hit the nail on the head, Adam. If it's a fantasy, then it's not truth. And if it's truth, it's real. And if it's real, that's spiritual, and you keep it to yourself.
All right.
It's
just
your own
everybody
thing.
Shut your fat pie hole about your crappy religion.
Adam's got
please.
Some issues.
I like
everybody.
Please. I'm tired
Adam
of it.
Has
and
some
I'm tired
issues.
Of,
he's
I'm
red
tired
right
of
now.
The reverence and the respect we well, all like, have to have for all you retards with your nut job fantasies.
Well, I like
shut
well,
up.
If anyone demands respect or reverence, that's just ego, and that's not humility, and true spirituality is humble and kind and quiet.
All right. Yeah. Just and listen, if you really just please, just kill yourself and meet your maker, would you all of you? He ain't
oh,
out.
That's so that's bad karma.
There. He's not out there.
Oh, okay. He's out there, he's gonna be pissed at those
kind
of
people. That's great. Yeah,
who's
fantastic.
He? Who are we? Who's
oh,
he?
She, it,
or she,
whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because how else could
the
planet have got here unless somebody created it? Yeah, okay.
Not somebody.
There you go. That's great. That's great thinking, everybody.
Adam.
How
Adam,
else? How
it had
else?
To be a he
no
because...
other way. No other way. Impossible. The planet couldn't be here unless somebody created it. Yes, that's great thinking. What's your proof he's there? What's your piece?
He's she. That's all
please.
Of it. There's no identity on it.
All right.
It's infinite.
Everyone, whatever. Just take your retarded fantasies and shut
what
up.
What makes your heart beat, Adam? What's the electrical impulse
that's moving
your body
what,
around?
What? Why
it's in you. That whole God
bread,
thing that's
why?
Inside of you. That's in you. That's what moves you around.
All right. That's it. There we go.
We had achieved the consensus, I think, earlier.
Yeah, we actually
we
have
achieved.
All right,
I mean,
let's
it's,
go back. All right, let's go back. All right, let's.
It's
let's
really
all,
simple.
We're
actually.
Gonna, we're all gonna be with our maker.
This is right along the lines.
We are our maker. You are the maker.
Idiots.
This is a Christian
Adam. Religion. Adam.
What's up,
Adam?
You're 17.
That was a heated thing.
Yeah. No, 21, man.
21. What's up?
No, actually, goes along. First of all, thanks for saying that, Adam. I've been waiting for somebody to come out. On public radio and say something like that. Religion sucks, needs to go away. Anyways,
thank you.
I just started dating this girl a few months ago, and she is really religious. She's got a lot of moral convictions about her, and I am not so much. You know, I smoke weed, I drink, I party around, sleep around, but I'm a good person. You know, I mean, I'm not, I'm very good.
That's a contradiction, son.
You can, you can party around and sleep around and be a good person. Yeah.
In denial.
Party around and smoke weed, it doesn't make me bad. I mean,
no, it makes you self.
There's no such thing as
bad. It makes you immature and self-indulgent is what it makes.
There you go. That might be it. I would agree with that.
So that's not a criticism, it's an observation. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being self-indulgent if you treat other people fairly. You know what I mean? You can
do
both. You can indulge yourself and be fair to other people.
Right. But it's being honest and accurate about what he's describing himself as. I mean,
that's what he is.
I feel kind and honest with yourself and others.
But Adam, wouldn't you agree that there's spirituality and there's religiosity? And religiosity is not a good thing. Spirituality is a good thing. No?
And that's very true. And if you need spiritual guidance to make it, you know, everybody needs something to hold on to. Otherwise, this life is useless and you become like Adam, you know?
Right.
So,
well, I don't know about that.
No, but religion is confining. Spirituality is infinite.
That's
it has no limits.
Right.
And that's your own.
Spirituality is religion for people who have over 100 IQ. It's basically what it is.
It's you got just the somebody who knows what's going on.
Religion, and then you got the people with a couple brain cells to rub together who get into spirituality. Right. That's what it is.
I live all here in Memphis. I see that all day, all the Hicks. Anyways, question is, you think
that's
all
right,
Hicks? Okay.
Yeah.
All the hillbillies, all the religious Bible belt, you know, it's all.
But God bless them. I mean, if you want to use the G word, they're doing their thing. They're going through it. Everybody has to make choices in life, and just like you do.
Leave me alone.
They're human, just like you.
So what's your question, Adam?
Okay, just what do you guys think about this, though? I mean, this girl, you know, like I said, has a lot of moral convictions. She doesn't do anything, never drank, never. Is there a possibility it could work out? I mean, you know, I mean, what do you think? Can somebody like that maybe come a little bit my way if I went a little her way? And
All right. Yeah, it'll work. I mean, she's religious. And
No, it's never going to work.
The question is, what is it that attracts you to somebody like that? Because you've got a situation here.
She's hot. That's what attracts
you.
Bruce has got a point.
That was first off. She was gorgeous. All right? And that's anybody who says looks don't matter.
That's an atheist. She goes for hot chicks. That's what you do as an atheist.
She's attracted to him because you're probably emotionally unavailable and she wants to save you. Exactly.
Well, we don't know that she's into him, though.
No, it doesn't matter. But he's
now, see, this is it. I've already gotten her to give up a little bit of her,
oral
reservedness, I guess.
What? She gave you some oral sex?
No. Just a little boobage. But still, it's a big step for a big religious girl, you know?
All right.
Yeah, but she's a challenge, right? She may be gorgeous, but she's a challenge. And there's a challenge thing there. There's a lot of girls you've already had. Here's some girl that's really good looking, and she's unavailable. She's probably unavailable emotionally, but she's also got this value system that doesn't allow her to act out with you.
So look, here's all you need to do is don't blow the spleef in front of her. Pretend you're semi-religious. Give her the spirituality line.
Respect her
and see
beliefs
what happens.
And honor them. Don't try to change them.
That's
just let her be herself.
Because everyone's right, and we can never judge. That's a little trouble.
You're
in the
evolving.
Middle East. That's all right. They'll have.
That's all we're offering Adam in terms of advice.
The
Jews, the Palestinians, it's all going to work out.
It's all going to. It all is
They're
always fine. It's all going to work out.
The nuclear haze.
It's all
hey, listen.
Work out.
I have a teacher who says the Earth is like a dog with fleas, and sometimes it's got to shake them off. And this is the natural cycle of history. This is what happens.
That's right.
If you read history, sometimes this has been happening since the dawn of time.
Sometimes the fleas bite the dog with a fatal disease.
We got a
planet, one world, people, one.
Yeah, let's pop the holiday fogger
race.
And kill some fleas over there.
Eyes.
That's all I'm saying. Let's tent the Middle East and get those fleas out of there.
Ah,
it's a great place.
But that's the same thinking. That's how does violence and violence begets violence.
That's
so how
right.
can you say that? I mean, that's ludicrous.
We should all hang back and let everyone do their own thing.
Yeah.
Everybody just needs to celebrate the differences.
That's
we need
right.
to celebrate the differences in our cultures instead of try to change them.
I think they were
great.
Celebrating in the World Trade Center.
Everything's
great.
That
was their
type
of celebration.
That's the way they celebrate, and we can't judge. They celebrate by flying commercial aircraft.
Yeah, but you can't say they. That's a sect. That
can't
is not.
Judge. I know. I can't
we're
even
talking
judge.
About extremists.
Can't even judge
we're
the
talking
sect.
About extremists.
Can't even judge the sect. That's the way they celebrate. You know, we may celebrate by playing a tambourine and singing. They fly commercial aircraft into
but
financial
we can't point
centers.
The finger.
But that's what they do, and we can't point.
We can't point the finger. We point the finger, there's four more pointing back at
that's
you.
Right.
So you just have to be
no
the
judgment.
Change you wish to see
now,
in the world, like Gandhi said.
I'm sorry we did anything in World War II. We shouldn't have never judged. judged Hitler, right. Later Stalin. We should have just, you know, Japanese enslavement camps or whatever. Let them do whatever they want. Right. We can't judge. Everything's good.
But judgment,
different.
No. You're, there's a difference between judgment and discernment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you can discern and make conscious action with that awareness, with discernment. But judgment is a very black and white.
We can and we can't.
Once you discern,
you can discern. You can say this is not healthy. Therefore, I'm going to take action to stop it. But judgment is a.
Yeah.
You understand the difference?
Yeah.
No.
Adam's discerning and then judging. He's just talking about the judgment portion without just going through his discernment.
All right.
Process.
You crazy semantics over here with the judgment. The discernment.
I'm clarifying.
My head's gonna explode. Let's keep rocking.
Okay.
Come on. We got kids. We got to talk about kids. Maddie.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm done beating up religion. I want to talk to some 14-year-olds.
How about Canadians? Do you have any comments? She's in. Are you in Ontario, Canada?
No, California.
Oh, God.
Where in California?
Ontario. It's halfway between here and San Bernardino.
That is
San
bad.
Bernardino County.
I consider it.
Beautiful there?
No. Were you raised in Ontario? It's all cows. Yeah, that's considered.
No, that's
cows. Hey, I grew up in Michigan.
Did you know that each cow produces 120 pounds of
fecal matter
a day?
Don't give me the.
And they're in
stuff.
Chino, next to Ontario. They're what 250,000 cows.
No,
I don't know. I listen to them and I smell them, and it's not good. You know,
that's what's eating away the ozone layer.
They just passed a new clean air initiative out there that's going to affect how many. They have to clean up the manure four times a year now instead of twice.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Seriously, this just passed recently.
Oh,
so
God.
But don't you got a city council meeting to make out in Ontario?
No, but for all the trees they chopped down to make room for the cows to bask and release their methane, they have to plant more trees to equal the carbon dioxide and the oxygen ratio because the methane is eating away the ozone there.
Right,
these are scientific facts.
No, listen, I know about the methane problem. I have one, you know, the Corolla house. I drive a small car. Maddie?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry Bruce had explained to you city council ordinance that was passed last week. Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
My dad's an alcoholic, and he was abusive. Not necessarily towards me, but to my mom. Mm-hmm. And they divorced when I was 7. And I just want to know if that was going to affect, me in the future, choosing.
He was abusive to your mom and you saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's damaging, but not as bad as if he was abusive to you.
Yeah.
But it will shape your judgment,
affect
your
perception.
Boundaries
will tend not to be as healthy as they should
clear. Was he verbally abusive with you?
Sometimes, but it just came up, me thinking about it because I was listening to Loveline, and I was thinking about all these people calling in and, them needing counseling and stuff, for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my mom about it that maybe I should get, some kind of help just to help me through it. She thinks that I don't need it.
Okay, who's been the adult male in your life that's affected you the most? Is it him? Have you had a close relationship with another adult male, a dad figure?
I have a stepdad also, but...
Are you close to him?
Oh, close to him?
Is there an adult male that you're close to that in which you have a healthy relationship? And...
No.
All right.
Can I speak from my own experience here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, it will affect you, but it's nothing to be afraid of. Like, I came from what one would call a dysfunctional family, but the thing is I learned so much from that, and there are programs out there. There are 12-step programs for friends and families of alcoholics that really, for me, when I was a teenager and going into my 20s and through my 20s, gave me the tools to understand the patterns in my life and the kind of men I attracted, the kind of friends I attracted. And it gave me a set of tools really to be able to be aware and conscious of those patterns. And it doesn't mean the patterns stop, but you have an awareness and you realize that you have a choice. And you should be very proud of yourself for making this call because it means you're waking up and you're seeing that, and you want it in order to prevent that or handle it more easily. So I think it's something.
So Maddie, you understand what Jessica's telling you?
Go to Alateen. Why don't you just
Have
you ever heard of Alateen?
No.
All right, everyone quiet. Here's what you need to do. Write down Alateen. You can call information and find it and go to an Alateen meeting.
If you can't
find
Alateen,
don't worry about your mom. And by the way,
mom's probably still in denial.
You've taken advice from your mom. It's like asking directions from a blind man.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she's doing. She married the idiot in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So your mom's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive her, but move forward.
She's sleeping and you're waking up and you're taking the initiative,
right.
And that's a really great
Jessica,
thing.
Jessica, that's right.
Excellent.
Great metaphor. She's asleep.
Yes.
And you're awake. That's right. Mm. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break, shall we? We'll
talk to Sarah, who's 3 months pregnant, took an abortion pill, and it didn't work, and she wants some advice on what to do.
Yes, Jessica Caulfield is here tonight from White Chicks, out in theaters as we speak.
White Chicks.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Jessica Caulfield is here. She is in White Chicks. She was explaining to me that there may be a ghost in my house and that I got to open my third eye.
Well, no, I did not say that.
You did say I needed to open
it. It's 1923 and then you've got another one that's 1927. I said, are there any ghosts? And he said, if you believe there's going to be ghosts, there's going to be ghosts. But he said he's never seen a ghost or felt one. I said, that's because... You know,
it's because I'm from North Hollywood and we don't have
North Hollywood.
Because you can't see, you're not open to them, but they're around.
The third eye is an anal wink in North Hollywood.
If you're
not looking with his third sight.
Yeah, here's the thing.
They don't really have
ghosts, but if you're looking for anything, you'll find it. So if you're looking for a ghost, you'll find a ghost.
No.
If you're not looking for a ghost, you won't find a ghost.
Yeah. It's not true. I've walked into houses and I've known there was a ghost there. And when we were doing Legally Blonde 2, Alana Ubach and I, and Blaise Serena, and I play Margot.
Yes.
And they had rented a house up by the Huntington Gardens, and they had where we were shooting, and then they also rented out the house next door to the left as a green room. Mm-hmm. And the family was actually in this house. It was kind of strange. And our dressing rooms were the bedrooms
food,
of this family's house, but there was food.
Yeah.
It was a craft service.
See? Not in radio.
So we were sleepy. Right. We wanted to take a nap because all you do is sit around on movie sets
and eat.
And eat and wait and sleep and read books. And so this woman who owned the house said, you can go up to the, you know, the daughter's bedroom and take a nap there. And I said, okay, because I was really tired. So I went up to this bedroom and I laid down. And there, I woke up because I thought someone was in the room. I thought it was Alana. And I realized, you're going to laugh at me, there was something there. And it was like a little girl.
Did you see it?
No, I felt it and I got freaked out. I jumped out of the bed and I started screaming, there's a ghost, there's a ghost, there's a ghost. And I went into the kitchen. I looked at the owner of the house and I said, you have a ghost in this house. There is a ghost of a young girl in here. And she wouldn't say anything. I said, is there a ghost? And she said, I've never seen anything. And then I went to the husband who was in the next room and I said, you have a ghost in the house? And he's like, yeah, it comes on and off for 5 years. And
really?
then he told me the whole story and I knew it. And then it got around on the set and then no one would go in the house. And
really?
But the woman came out and apologized to me while I was standing next to the craft service table and said, sorry, we didn't tell you about the ghost. It, you know, it hasn't been... Yeah, it was a real serious thing. And
they just thought you were doing blow up in the bedroom.
No.
I'm
serious. It was
crazy
really
actress.
Frightening.
Really? And so who was the ghost? Did they know who the ghost was?
They said it was definitely a girl, and it's for the last 5 years since they had moved in, it went in cycles, and it disappeared for a couple months, and just lights on and off, doors opening and closing, little poltergeist kind of things. Nothing frightening, but it really scared me because I was asleep.
Right.
And that's the... I thought Alana was standing next to the bed, and it wasn't Alana. I didn't see it. I just felt it. It scared the crap out of me.
All right. No, I mean, maybe you got a better antenna than I do. I don't have the ghost antenna, so I never see any ghosts.
You're kind of born with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of that kind
Like I said, no one from the San Fernando Valley was born with a ghost antenna.
His antenna was shaved off.
Nobody from Studio City or Sherman Oaks.
It's like, here's what I'm starting to really realize. Like, you know... Nobody I grew up was allergic to anything. Like, nobody had all the magical allergies that everyone has now to almost everything.
Those are created.
Yeah, no one was allergic to anything, and nobody saw any ghosts. And I just realized, poor, stupid people, they really just can't afford to be allergic to stuff. And and they're not into ghosts either.
Yeah. Well, I was reading an article today. They're encouraging parents to allow their kids to... get in touch with dog fur and dirty things early on, the first year of life, so their body starts to accept the allergies.
They need to acclimate to those allergens.
Before the article you read about methane in Ontario, or is this after?
Well, that's not a medical topic yet.
Sarah?
No, that's an environmental topic.
Sarah, you're 23. What's up?
Hi. I took the misoprostol abortion pill.
Mm-hmm. Do they call it? They call it an abortion pill?
Yeah. You mean the day after pill?
No.
Different pill.
It's when you take within 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Right. Is that like the RU486 pill?
No, it's different.
I think that's different. What
they call it, yeah. What's
the technical
name of it?
Hold on. What's different about it? It's not the RU486 pill?
This is after
I tell you the truth, I don't know a lot about it. Other than it doesn't always work. If it does, the question I'd have her, did she follow up with her physician?
What's different about it than the RU486 pill?
I don't know anything about the RU486.
All right,
RU486 is taken within 3 days of the accident, so to speak.
No. That's the morning after. Oh, that's God. The emergency contraception.
Listen, you want me to kill myself? Why did you say no when I said it's like the RU486 pill?
Because I don't think RU486 has been released. I think this is a different.
We have it out. Okay, I'm saying, is it like it? It does the same thing, right?
Right.
All right. Let's stop disagreeing then, reflexively. Sarah?
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Okay. And then they give you
an ass full of Bruce.
I'm sorry, what?
Did you follow up with your physician? That's the question.
2 weeks later, yeah, I did. And they said it was too late by then because it didn't work from the first day.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what's their advice? I mean, that's...
They told me that I need to get the actual physical abortion done in their clinic or whatever, but I'm too nervous to go do that.
Well, here's the thing, and I would imagine once you try this pill, you have to have a physical abortion. Otherwise,
right, because now it's got possibilities of having damage done to the baby.
Right. So what are you going to do?
Or you have a super baby.
Well, I'm almost out of time now, but I don't know. I'm really scared to go in and get it done because I'm a wuss, I guess.
Do you have a friend? Do you have somebody, you can lean on?
I have taking me down there, but I always end up leaving.
What about the guy whose baby it sort of was?
He kind of did me and left while I was sleeping. That's why I'm even in this position.
Okay, so he's out of the picture.
You're right, he's gone.
All right. I want you to find your best friend. I want you to drink a wine cooler. That'll mellow you out a little bit. I don't know what the medical implications are.
Your best friend.
A little shot of a wine cooler. I'd like to give you a shot of brandy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Take the edge off. Drink a wine cooler, get your two best friends, and go down there and tell them, do not let me leave until this procedure is done.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah.
You have to do it now.
Right. Yeah, and you're old enough to understand the responsibility part of this and having to make certain choices in life that you don't necessarily look forward to or want to do. This is something you have to do. Because you're responsible for this, situation.
Whatever it is now, and I don't know what the percentages of these pills are, but I do know they don't work all the time.
Right, they're 10-15%.
They don't work 10 or 15% of the time.
I believe that's the case. Right. I'm not an expert in that area.
What's her name? She's history.
Sarah.
She's gone.
Oh, she's gone. Well, she's probably still listening.
She can hear you.
Sarah, the thing is that in this day and age, the majority of women, fortunately or unfortunately, have had the experience of going through this medical procedure, and many women go through it every day and they come out the other side and they're fine. I mean, there's the requisite emotional processing you have to go through with the experience, but it is a relatively safe procedure that many people make it through very often. It's just now you're taking responsibility for your actions and taking the next step, and you'll be fine.
I'm surprised, by the way, when the clinic found out the pill wasn't effective, that it wasn't incumbent upon them to perform the procedure, like, hey, we got to do this now.
Well,
you're not going home.
But she has to sign a consent. So if a person's...
I know, but it seems like when you're handing out the abortion pill, part of that procedure is, and by the way, here's a supplementary form which says if it doesn't work, you're coming back for a medical abortion.
It probably is. The bottom line is you cannot tie a person down and perform the procedure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And this is just people's right to
choose. It's her volition, yeah.
Yeah.
Valerie?
Yeah.
You're 28? I mean, 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was, me and my boyfriend were having sex like not too long ago, like in April, and we did it about 9 or 10 times. And it, like, hurts every time. And I was wondering if it was, like, an easier way to do it, like, because it's not that thing inside that has to be, like, broken or moved or something. Like, he doesn't go all the way up because it, like, hurts really bad.
Hey, Valerie?
Yeah.
I want you to find your high school health teacher and kick him in the nuts. First, number one. And tell him he failed you completely in his attempt to teach you.
What the hymen is.
Yes. That thing, you're talking about the hymen?
Uh-huh.
Yes?
I I'm not really sure what it's called.
All right, like I said.
The cherry.
Knee to the groin of your health teacher.
Is this the first person you've had sex with?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now see, now I'm confused, because on one hand, I smell junior college. On the other hand, she's not sleeping with enough people to go to junior college.
Absolutely.
Junior college, Valerie?
No. Actually, I did homeschool.
Oh, that's... All right, you got to knee your dad in the nuts, then. That's where the whole hymen discussion fell through the cracks.
She's experiencing is natural for some women. Okay.
So you're going. Are you out of homeschooling now?
I'm out of high school.
You're going off to college?
Yeah.
So you just
what college are you going to?
Binghamton University in New York.
Yeah.
Really? And without knowing what a hymen is.
Well.
All right. I'm just curious.
So it's a state university system?
Yeah.
SUNY or?
All right. The phone lines are all over the place. Here's the thing. I don't think Valerie has her hymen. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to continuously have sex.
It's an incomplete membrane to start with. Many times it's damaged or broken by other activities.
Mine
it's
not looks like Swiss cheese.
It's not that big a deal. Not every...
Yeah, mine is a disaster.
Girl has bleeding first time having intercourse.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, I asked him if, like, he could, because it's like, you know, your ovaries are, like, down there, and if he could, like press on them, like, with his thumbs, and at the same time, like, go up, and do you think that that's, like, a harmful way of doing it, or just do it regular and have it just break regular?
Here's your plan, Valerie. I'm going to, I know you've done some home, you've been in the home doing the homeschooling. Do you have a home gynecologist?
Does
your dad have stirrups? You got to get out of the house. You have to go to a gynecologist. You're sexually active now. You have to get on birth control, and you have to have yourself checked out annually. You understand?
Uh-huh.
And your boyfriend sort of conducting experiments on your vagina or trying to do a little home surgery or any of that, it's all out of the question.
Have you had a pelvic exam ever?
I had an ultrasound once because...
No. Okay, listen to me. What you need to do, and especially with the type of questions you're asking, find a female gynecologist or go to family planning where there's a woman that's great at talking about having sex for the first time that can point out to you things, explain how things are done, and it'll make everything, all the problems will go away.
So, can you do that?
All right.
All right.
Get a medical dictionary and look at diagrams,
too. Problem with that.
Yeah, well, they'll sit down with her. And family planning, or if you get a good, empathic woman gynecologist. I mean, and
this is the problem with the homeschooling, by the way. These
you got to know what a vast deference in the hymen is. Most men don't even know what a menstrual cycle is. Do you know they think there's one hole? They're all confused. I mean, they think out of the same.
You can't pee with a tampon in. That I know.
Very good.
Is that true? It doesn't make sense that you can pee with it. If I put a tampon in me, you know, the front side, I don't think I could pee.
Adam, you've gone too far.
All right, here's my point. I don't know who decided, like, 9 years ago that homeschooling was cool and acceptable. It should be as acceptable as, like, home surgery. Like, hey, I'm a nutty parent. I'm a Christian Scientist. I'll do my own surgery on my child. The parents would be arrested immediately. Right. This is nonsense. We're going to keep our kids home and teach them the way we want to teach them. And by the way, there's no social interaction. Who the hell knows what the hell you're learning or not?
Parents get together that have their kids homeschooled. And they supposedly have social events.
Depends on the parents. It all depends. I have friends who are homeschooled and
they're nuts. It's a mess.
Everybody's nuts.
Look, and here's the ironic thing about the homeschooling is that's the last thing these kids need is more time with the screwed up parents.
That's
exactly what you're getting. Your parents ironically, it would be okay to be homeschooled by parents that didn't want to homeschool you. Those are decent, hardworking people. You're crazy religious zealot folks who don't want you to get any input from the outside evil world. Nut jobs. Kids just should go to school. Yeah. Shouldn't they?
Well,
thank you.
They should find a good raccoon family.
All right. By the way, how do you get to college? What do you even do? I mean, okay, you take the SAT.
Aptitude test.
what? Don't you have to have grades and things? Your mom's your PE yeah. coach and your health teacher and your biology teacher. I mean, this seems to seem like nonsense.
There are organizations that help parents structure homeschooling curricula so that at the end they put forth a very
Here's the whole thing. The homeschooling plan would be a great plan if the kid never left the house. I mean, if he went through college at home, married at home, raised a family at home, but eventually they leave, and then they just become social retards.
That's not the problem.
It is. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Quite nice.
Jessica Caulfield is here tonight from White Chicks, out in theaters as we speak.
People are laughing as we speak.
It is getting great reviews and great feedback. And Busy Phillips was here, and now Jessica here. So
Busy Phillips is a blonde. I'm the redhead, but blonde in real life. And then there's brunette Jennifer Carpenter.
You have to go see it. You have
the three white chicks, the actual white chicks.
Alexis.
The real
white chicks. Yes. The real white chicks.
You're 15. You want to know if it's okay to date a 21-year-old? Yes? Yeah. No, it's not.
Well, actually, we're not exactly dating. We're just good friends.
That's fine. But
why does this guy want to be friends with a 15-year-old? There's something wrong. Stay away. Break off the friendship.
He doesn't want to be
friends. Run in the other direction. Okay.
We don't see each other all the time, though.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If he's talking to you at all, it's
creepy. Yeah. And you don't know it until you're 21 and you look back at a 15-year-old or you have a 15-year-old yourself or whatever it is. Especially women. When a woman is 15, she thinks she's an adult. She really does. No one can tell her anything. She's an adult. And if you're an adult, well, so you date a 30-year-old, 35-year-old, 28-year-old. You're not an adult. And what you don't know is how flawed these guys are. Mm. That's really the catch-22 of dating someone that's significantly older than you when you're 15. Only an a-hole would date a 15-year-old who was, supposed to be, you're supposed to be graduating college. You're dating someone's in the ninth grade. You're an a-hole.
This guy's closer to a child molester than he is to a decent, normal guy.
He doesn't want to be your friend.
No, he wants in your pants.
Yes. And look, even if he just wants to be friends, just wants to hang out, that's creepy.
No.
That's creepy.
When you're 21, you'll understand.
Right.
That's
looking
right.
back at someone who's 15.
That's right. Jack?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And I just want to say, Adam, how could you let those two guys take over the man show?
Well, it wasn't my choice.
It's a long
choice.
Story.
It wasn't my choice, but
go
ahead.
You have a question
ahead.
You want some help with?
Yeah, I do. I'm 14, and I got a lot of hair on my body.
Yeah.
And I hang out with chicks, all the time, and I find some of them like it, but some of them don't.
Yeah.
So I some of them will
stick with the ones who like it.
Some of them will like you, and some of them won't.
Always.
Some of them. You.
Some of them means about 3%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tops. Yeah. Yeah.
But most of the ones that like it aren't all that, attractive.
Yeah.
Well, they usually have it of their
here's
own.
The thing, Jack. Let me give you a harsh dose of reality here. If you're 14 and you're already kind of hairy, you got a tough road to hoe. Believe you me. Number one. Number two, I've not met a woman that likes a hairy guy yet. They don't mind a little sprinkling on the chest, a little something to lather up the hair, but any back or ass hair freaks him out.
But unless he's planning
good.
A career as a metrosexual, who cares?
Right.
That's who
you're
he
fine.
Is.
Yeah, that's who he is.
I mean,
whoever
right.
accepts you for who you
that's
are is
right.
the right person. Right.
And women, you'll
with the hair.
Women will not be attracted to that hair.
And when you're old enough, you can get waxed.
Yeah.
Lasered.
Lasered.
Lindsay.
You can get lasered.
Yeah. So it's wonderful, the laser I had on my neck. Worst
day
of my
life. I didn't
do
it, though.
Lindsay, you're 20. What's up?
I think I have a problem. I think I'm a sex addict. Ironically, once I got out of high school, I've been dating the same guy for 2 years. We broke up in December, and from January to about April, I slept with a different guy every couple nights and girls. Mm-hmm. I've been dating the same guy for about 3 months, and he finds it a little annoying when I demand sex from him three, four times a day. Uh-huh.
Wow.
So you have you definitely have a problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and whether you call it you're a sex addict or You want to look at the roots?
I didn't even know that was anything until I got really into the TV show Nip Tuck, and I was like, oh, my God, because a couple times I wouldn't even know that I had slept with a guy and just, like,
You're getting drunk and blacking out?
No, not drunk. I don't drink. I've only...
Well, how would you know you didn't? Well, why do you say you didn't even know you slept with the guy?
Because I'd wake up and I just wouldn't remember any of it.
Yeah, so you're splitting off in you've had abuse in the past.
Bipolar personality.
Totally sober. Have mm-hmm. no recollection of a sexual encounter.
Part of it's because I also found out in the last 6 months I'm bipolar. And I'm on
very
my, I'm
good.
On medication.
Jessica
called. So. All right, listen, Lindsay, were you horribly abused? Were you sexually abused?
No, nothing.
Oh, something. I guarantee you something
split you off.
There's nothing.
No, wait a second. You're
17.
Listen to me. You're saying you don't remember encounters you've had in the mm-hmm. last few months, and you're telling me that there's no way something happened when you were much younger.
Not
that was extremely.
I've been dating the same guy for 3 months now.
No. I'm talking about when you were seven.
That.
Nothing.
No.
Where's your dad? Is he alive?
What was your childhood
like? Yeah, my dad, he's a wonderful man. He's always there for me. He's never done anything to me.
Okay. Then you have to go to a psychiatrist because there's a problem. There's an
well, you're already going to us.
That I called is because last night at 4:00 in the morning, my boyfriend woke me up and said I was masturbating in my sleep.
Well, that's not.
And he woke me up, and I'm right, like, okay, "What are you talking about?"
That's the least of your worries.
That is not
your
worries.
All right, listen.
Wait,
nut
I want to say something really quick. I know
we're out of time. It's a problem. I'm sorry.
Bipolar manic depression, though, that's also one of the symptoms. Is
yeah.
Sex addiction, hypersomnia, insomnia, eating patterns, all those things are indicative of...
Go to the psychiatrist.
And get the psychiatrist to refer a good family therapist or psychologist that can spend extensive time working with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll take a break. Well, that's the show. Where did the time go?
Where did it go?
Jessica, God bless you, baby doll.
God bless you, honey buns.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Come out anytime. White Chicks, name of the movie, out in theaters as we speak.
Nobody's my hero except for Jesus.
Fantabulous job, as per usual, filling in for Dr. Drew. I want to thank engineer Chris. I want to thank engineer Anderson for doing a magical job on those potentiometers. I want to thank phone screener Brian. I want to thank junior producer Lauren. And, of course, producer Ann for booking such great guests as Jessica. So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr.
Thanks,
Bruce
man.
Saying mahalo. What about Johnny Rockabilly? Is he a heavy thruster? Mr. Bell?
Johnny Rockabilly.
I know this guy.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.